Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, Saturdays are meant for me. That's all there is to it.
We should rename Saturday as Fay Day.
That's right. Absolutely.
Like officially on the calendar and everything. Make it a whole thing.
That's right. It should be a Texas holiday is what it should be.
It's exactly what it should be, a Texas holiday.
That's right. I love that idea.
Yeah.
We don't have enough Texas holidays.
We really don't. We need some more.
The federal government has too many. We don't have enough.
See, it's imbalanced. We need to catch up. It's what we need to do.
That's right.
Because we're celebrating as a whole, like everything.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Texas is a whole nother country. You know.
Yes.
I mean, it's its own place.
Yes.
It should have a lot more fun upscale deals to do.
Yes. Well, you know, we have history, so you know, if we need to, you know, use history as like a reason to have holidays, that'd be great. We have a ton of different environments, you know, like you can go in four different sections, north, south, east, and west of the state, and get four completely different climates. It's
that's right.
Awesome.
It's always different.
Yes.
And then we've got all these water holes. I mean, we've got more places to jump in the water, not lakes, but, you know, the rivers. We've got all these small towns have got these wonderful waterways going through them that kids can have more fun.
Yes.
I mean, Texas in the summer's got everything. And now our flowers are all blooming. Oh, my gosh. Mm. The flowers are gorgeous.
Yes. This is the best time of
all
year
for over the state.
Oh, I know it. I know it. And it doesn't matter which part you're in. It's like this springtime is like the best season because everything, you know, comes back and everything is blooming and everything is just so bright and colorful. And it's a great time of year, no matter what. No matter what part of the state you're in, there's something for. And then I know once we get into summer vacation time, you know, if we had a list of all the things you've talked about in trivia of places to go and things to see in the summertime, we would be here for just months, just nonstop going.
You would
over.
Never have to leave the state to
never.
Go on vacation.
No, you
there's
wouldn't.
Enough stuff right here to keep you busy.
Yes.
Yes, a lot of really fun things. And when I think of all the historic houses, the historic towns, I mean, this is part of our education. Everybody should see all these wonderful things that we've got. I wonder how many people have actually visited all these sites.
I don't think it's possible.
So great that I talk about.
You'd have to live to be 300 years old to see all these spots.
You're right about that. I mean, it might take a little while. You might be a little old time you finish.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But still, it would be great to try. And I'm sure there's people that have lists of things to do that, you know, probably date back years from things that you've talked about that they just hadn't gotten to yet because they're so cool. There's so
That's
many.
Right. It's just so much. And it doesn't cost a lot in Texas, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
I mean, a lot of these things don't cost hardly anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can just keep busy all summer and have so much fun.
Yeah. And there's something for everybody. So if you don't like water parks, well, there's plenty of like old historical towns. If you don't like old historical towns, there's plenty of different like cultural types of things. Like you were talking about churches one time. It's been several years, but you know, there's that kind of thing. There's the food. There's there's all kinds of different things that we've got for literally everybody, and you don't ever have to leave the state.
Can you imagine if they said, I want to try out all the different kinds of barbecue. Gosh, the barbecue trail would take you a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, these people have been cooking barbecue forever, and they've gotten better and better, like the story we did last week, you know.
Yeah.
People started out with that little bitty store,
mm-hmm.
and then they said the salsa was so bad, they invented their own salsa, and they make 10 kinds.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing.
It is.
Texans can do anything. There's not anything they can't do.
Yeah, yeah. And it's all done with heart and soul. You know, it's not just cranks.
That's exactly right.
And that's different.
And they're not up there on Wall Street in a big old suit and a penthouse.
Exactly.
Ordinary people doing their job.
Yeah, doing their job, solving problems, making people's lives better.
That's right. And they've got their pickup, they've got their ropes. I mean, what more do you need?
I know it. I mean, literally, we are completely self-sufficient, not only as a state, but as a people as well. We can...
That's right.
There's nothing we can't do.
Look how we started out.
Yeah.
I mean, started out with a revolution.
It's literally the foundation of how we even got here. It's baked in our DNA, I would say.
That's right. And Texans are tough people. They're resilient people. And mainly, they're happy.
Yeah.
You know, have you realized most people are happy?
I know. You go to other places, people are angry.
They are angry. They're an angry people.
Yeah.
I mean, and they hit people. They do bad things.
They do.
I mean, they weren't taught, obviously. I mean, they do really bad things.
Yeah. But here it's a little slower. It's a little easier. It's a little bit more relaxed. It's not quite as tense and uptight as other places, which I think probably
helps.
Well,
it's like this. The little one was playing soccer the other day. Remember, he's second grade. And the coaches told them, said, we're going to have to play girls today. And they warned these little boys, you do not hit, you don't choke them, you don't trip them. You have to be very careful because they're girls. They didn't understand about playing with girls. And these girls came in and wiped them out. Just wiped them out. They tripped them. They did everything that they were told. Be careful. Don't do it to the girls. You got to be gentle. These girls were not gentle. They were horrible. Oh, my gosh. And my grandson was tripped 3 times by a girl.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they told him, you know, we will get you if you touch a girl, if you hurt a girl, you know. And when it was over, he said, I don't want to play girl anymore. They're just too rough.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy. Oh.
I mean, you learn the hard way, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Oh, my goodness. I bet that was an eye-opener for him, wasn't it?
It was an eye-opener. I was at the game, so I know how rough it got.
Oh.
And the girls were bigger than them.
Oh, my.
And I'm going, oh, my gosh, they don't have a chance.
Oh, no.
They'd just elbow their way in and trip you and make a goal.
Oh, wow. Well, but at least they're having fun. I mean, he did have fun, I assume.
They're having a lot of fun, but I don't think he wants to play a girl team ever again. Taught him a good lesson. Things you can't do, a girl can do and get by with it.
Yeah, yeah, and he needs to, and that's a lesson that'll apply all the way through life.
That's right. I mean, always beware.
Yeah.
And, keep your head down.
Yes.
You know?
do the right thing, treat it with respect, and you'll be just fine.
That's right.
Wow.
And stay out of their reach.
Yes.
That's the other thing.
Oh, yeah, that's another one. Stay
that's
out of
a big one, you know, stay out of their reach.
Well, you know, at least he learned how tough some girls can be. And so you don't mess with that.
And, you know, he's been in love with girls since he was in kindergarten. Mm. And, you know, he kept saying he was going to marry this one girl. He really was in love with her. And, you know, she left his school and he was just crushed. And I asked him the other day about girls. He said, well, these girls are just not into me. He said, they're just not into boys.
Oh, gosh. No.
He's in love with love, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a good thing, you know?
Does he is he still in love with his first girlfriend, or, you know, now that she's gone? Is
well, he said the other day, no, that they're just friends now. It's been too long. Yeah, it's been too long.
It's been too long. Wow.
Yeah, so he has a new girlfriend, but we don't know how long that'll last. You know, when you're in second grade, I think it kind of comes and goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It comes and goes.
It's not always a steady thing.
It kind of changes with the wind.
That's right, especially after playing those girls in soccer, his opinion may be changing a little.
He may just elect to stay single forever.
That's right. He may say, I need to stay a little farther away from them where they can't get to me.
Yeah. Caution, caution. Wow. Yeah, that's hilarious. That's pretty funny. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. And be sure you use Midland.com when you're going to the website.
Yes.
Okay?
That's
I
very
just
important.
I thought I'd mention that. It is really important.
Okay, so what are some of the big updates from this week? What do we need to know?
Well, we're still working on our large policy. As you know, this is a $6 million policy. You must be accredited, you know, to go in it. For new people coming in that don't have an account, you can open an account and go right in this policy. A lot of people don't realize there's no premiums on it, which makes that really good to start with. It's a three-year policy. The man has got colon cancer. He's got rectal cancer. He's got a bad, bad heart. His diabetes is out of control. They did a fasting test, and even fasting, it was 187.
Wow.
I mean, that is really, really high.
Yeah, it is.
So his diabetes is out of control. And this is a cancer that came back, that was in, you know, remission. It came back in 22. He's being treated at MD Anderson. So this is a Texas case. And we're trying to get it filled. Now, a lot of people don't realize the profit on this is 37%.
Wow.
Well, 37% on $50,000 is $17,000 profit. On $100,000, it's $37,000.
Wow.
So if you put $100,000 in, you're going to get back an extra $37,000.
So I don't.
If you put $50,000 in, you're going to get an extra $17,000.
So with this being such a good policy, if somebody wanted to say put in, say, $200,000, would that be, is that allowed or is that possible?
If we have the room for it.
Okay.
If we have room for it, yes. Sometimes we don't because we are trying to get it filled up. We have a few spots left and a lot of people came in and they may want to put in a little extra. They might want to put in an extra $25,000 or $50,000. Someone came yesterday and put an extra $50,000 in. So, you know, we do have a little bit of room. If somebody wants to put some money in, like a 50 or 100,000, like you said, if someone's got 200,000, you know, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, because I'm thinking this is a really good policy. And all those things that you just listed really, how long, what is, it's 30, wait, how long is the policy for?
It's 3 years.
Okay.
They think he's going to live 3 years. I don't know because he's been in the hospital several times for his heart.
Yeah.
The diabetes, he's been in the hospital for that. They had to do a drip deal on his insulin. It was so bad.
Oh, my gosh.
And he kept telling them that he wasn't dizzy, wasn't all this, but he was. And his wife said he was. And the heart deal, he's been in the hospital twice for that already.
Oh, wow.
And then, of course, he's got colon cancer. He's got rectal cancer. I've never known anybody that survived rectal cancer.
Yeah. And usually, I mean, when we're talking about all these different things, you know, any one of these all by itself would be a major thing. But when you put all these things together and all these different things, you know, like even the heart thing or even, you know, the diabetes thing on top of it, there's so many different factors on this. I would be surprised if it goes full term. And I'm just a novice. I'm just, you know, from the outside.
Yeah, well, I kind of doubt that it'll go quite that far. Because he's in such bad shape.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've been doing all this stuff. He's got atrial fibrillation on his heart. And, you know, he didn't have a heart attack. But his heart was giving him so much trouble, they had to take him to the emergency room twice. And then the diabetes is out of control. If when they test it and you've been fasting, and you go over for that test early in the morning, and it's at 184, it's way out of control.
Yeah, that's excessive.
Shouldn't be near that on fasting. It should be low.
Mm-hmm.
Because wow. You haven't had anything to eat in 12 hours.
Yeah. I've been through the process myself, and so I know kind of how those numbers work, and yeah,
you do know how it works.
I do, yeah.
When they test you, and they wanted to be under 7 on the A1C, as you know.
Yeah, yeah. So.
And
wow.
If it isn't, they're mad.
Yeah, and if they're doing, you know, if there's like insulin things and there's other stuff like that going on, then it's pretty serious. It's, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, you see the commercials on TV just for that alone. You see commercials for that on TV, and it's kind of scary of the different things that can happen. And I think that was the idea behind the commercials, is to scare you.
To be sure you take your insulin.
Yeah.
If you're on insulin. And
yeah.
If it's really bad, you're on insulin. Several times a day.
Yeah, it can be very, very, very dangerous and get out of control very, very quickly. So that in itself is a major factor. So it wouldn't surprise me if maybe on Monday morning you get people not only wanting to get into the policy, but maybe some people who are already in kind of like rethinking and saying, you know, all these things combined, this is kind of a big policy. I might want to put in a little bit more. It wouldn't be surprising if you get calls.
Yeah, I would think they would want to put in a little more. And people that aren't in it that said no might want to come on in, because I think it's going to be a really good policy. The profit is there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you've got 37% profit. And as I said, it's 17,000 and something on 50. On 100, it's $37,000.
Yeah.
37% profit. I don't know where in the world you're going to get 37%. In today's economy, do you?
No, and to do that little for it.
I just don't.
It's not like you have to do anything.
That's right. And Red Lobster found out the hard way, you know, that giving away all that shrimp cost them millions. Now they're fixing to go into bankruptcy.
Are you serious?
You can't give it all away. No, they said yes. They're on the verge.
Oh, I didn't hear
they
that.
Had all you can eat shrimp. You cannot do that. I mean, you could say up to 3 pounds or up to 2 pounds. But no, they said all you can eat.
So
and it cost them millions and millions.
Wow. I guess I just assumed, because you see the commercials, and I just assumed there was some kind of a limit, because you know there's somebody.
No, they didn't put a limit on it.
Really?
People are just not out of a good mind.
Wow.
You know, a lot of these CEOs, just they're in another world.
Yeah, clearly. Wow, I didn't see that one. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
I that would have been something that I would have normally paid attention to. I'm surprised I missed that one. That's kind of sad. So
how many employees do you think Cheesecake Factory has?
Oh my gosh. I couldn't even guess. They have so many locations.
It
I don't know.
It said 48,000.
Really?
That's what it said.
48,000 employees.
They must have a lot more stores than we even know about.
Yeah, clearly.
I mean, you know, I had no idea they had that many stores.
I didn't either. I wonder if they're over. They might be overseas. I didn't think about that.
I think they are, although they have a headquarters in California, but I think they are U.S. and European.
Wow. Huh. And yeah. That's Cheesecake Factory?
Cheesecake Factory said they had 48,000.
Good Lord. I've seen.
I couldn't imagine.
I wonder what, like, McDonald's numbers are for employees are. I have a feeling they're probably going down, because I'm seeing and reading more and more things about their popping up locations that are just like the drive-thrus, where there's a couple of employees and not like the full staff. And so have you seen any of those?
I haven't seen them, but I've been hearing about them. Everybody's trying to get to where there's no people, because California's going to break them.
Yeah.
A lot of them are closing down. They're going to other states. They said a hamburger is going to be $25 in California.
No doubt. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I was seeing about all that, because, you know, the minimum wage, I think they raised. And
to
then,
$20.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a fast food place paying $20? I mean, they're out of their mind.
Yeah. I had seen somebody, a friend of ours lives out there, and they were saying that they went to, I forget which one, but some restaurant, and because of it, they had raised the price of each item by like a dollar or two, or sometimes three. And that was like per item, not just a few cents, but a couple of dollars per item.
Each item.
Yes. And by the time, you know, wow. you go in and get, you know, just a basic, you know, like a main, like a sandwich and a, some kind of a side and a beverage, you know, you're talking about, you know, $40 for just basic.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, for two people. And they were just saying how ridiculous it had gotten. And it was just out of control. So, yeah.
Well, they're going to drive everybody that's in business out of California.
No doubt.
They're not going to be able to sustain this.
Uh-uh.
People are saying, you know, we're out of here. And that Frosty's had been there 40 years. They just closed up.
Really?
And the other place, it wasn't in California. It was another state. And they've been there for, I think, 39 years. And they didn't have wheelchair access or anything because it's an old, old building. And they don't own the building. And these people had a hard time getting in the door, so they sued.
Oh.
And they just closed down. They said, we don't have the money to go out here and redo the whole thing. We don't have it, and we just have to close. So one person in a wheelchair that got in the building, it wasn't that they didn't get in. It's that they were mad because it was hard to get in.
Wow.
So they just sued them.
And they said,
we can't fight a lawsuit. We don't have the money. And they just closed the hamburger place after 39 years.
Jeez. Wow. One person broke them. Oh, wow.
One person did it to them. I hope they feel better today. Yeah.
I hope they
don't have a place to have a hamburger now.
Yeah. They'll have to find somewhere else to get their hamburger. Good Lord.
And the lawsuit didn't do them any good because people went out of business.
Yeah.
So I think they did some bad things.
Wow. So everybody lost on that deal.
Yeah. I mean, you can't, you know, if it had been a big company, sure, they would have had the money. They could have changed, you know, whatever access they need to do and fixed it. There's an old, old building.
Yeah.
And they've been there 39 years. And the landlord said, no, I'm not going to fix it.
Wow.
So they said, well, I'm sorry, we just have to close. So people that had eaten there all these years went up to the door, and it's closed.
Wow, that's sad.
Yeah.
That's really
and
sad.
And one person closed them. Isn't that terrible?
Wow. It's sad to think that, you know, some places are on the verge like that. You know, you expect it, you know, from, you know, mom and pop places like that individually owned. But then you see things like, you know, the big conglomerates like Red Lobster, like you were saying, on the brink. And it's just like, golly, it's just there's so many things that are happening that are not working in business's favor. And so things are changing for sure on a wide
things
scale.
Things are changing. Everybody should take that note and, you know, figure out, you know, the day-to-day business deals that we're all facing, you know.
Yeah.
In order to make a dollar, what we have to do it.
Yeah. And so when people are looking at all these different things that are going on, they're seeing the economy, they're seeing all these stories about, you know, because you don't think about, you know, like Red Lobster on the verge of bankruptcy. And like we were talking a couple of years ago, you know, especially from COVID effects, all the other, you know, retails and all the, you know, things that have happened even to malls in, you know, brick and mortar locations, they're all starting to either go online or go out of business altogether. And so, you know, you look at what's happening and it's like even these institutions that we thought were solid, been here for 100 years, were fine. When we see how fragile they can actually be, we as individuals have to start looking at things and say, you know, what kinds of conservative opportunities are there? And we start looking at things like life settlements. We, you know, the stock market is unpredictable. It's you know, unstable.
Some days it drops 500 points.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen.
I know.
It can go up. It can go down. It can go sideways on you.
Yeah.
And, you know, if the older you get, you should become more conservative. I know our clients are very conservative.
Yes.
You know, we've known that from day one. You know, they wanted that principal guaranteed. They want their interest guaranteed. And if they stick with us, the interest is always guaranteed. The principal is always guaranteed. And that's important. If you lose your principal, you don't have anything left to invest.
Exactly. And you need to always protect it. And so
that's right. And that's like annuities. Annuities are my super, super thing. Because if you're 70 to 80 years old, an annuity is going to start looking very, very good because annuities, you can take lifetime income. You can't outlive your income. It's all tax deferred until you take it out. And there's not any investment I know of that's tax deferred. You know, when it's in the annuity, it's always tax deferred. It's a compound interest. It's got everything available. And then there are A-plus companies. They're rated by AM Best, by Fitch. You know, we all have the top ratings on the companies I use.
Yeah, and that's important. And so, you know, when people are looking at, you know, trying to do something that's a little bit more conservative, because you look at all the different things that have happened, you know, whether it's, you know, stock market ups and downs, businesses going in and out, retail, you look at like construction, you look at, you know, all these different things that are so unreliable that people have thought were stable for so long. The one thing that has remained consistent and held its own, no matter what the conditions were, have been conservative investments like life settlements and like annuities. And so those are really, and with life settlements, we should also point out that they've got the reserves on hand, and that when a policy matures, they don't discount it. They don't pay out a portion of it. It's the full value holds no matter what the condition is.
And, you know, and the profit angle on every policy is very good. We don't do any policies that don't have a good profit for the client. So the profit angle is always very good for the client. And then the safety features we've got for life settlements. You know, we don't touch the money. The money is handled by Nevada Trust, who is the trustee on every account. So you have a trustee that's between us and the customer at all times. When a policy matures, the money comes to the bank. They put it in your account. That's as square as it should be. You know, money doesn't come to us. We don't touch the money. It goes into your account direct from the bank. And if everybody had that, it'd be a safer world.
Yeah. I mean, the stock market doesn't have that kind of regulation. I mean,
no, it doesn't. We hear about that every day.
Yeah.
Some clown. I mean, you know.
They'll just take your money and go, you know, do whatever with it. And so, golly, it's so willy-nilly and so, unregulated, to be official. It's kind of scary at times. And so, you know, with life settlements, you know exactly what you're getting into. You know exactly about the policy. You know, because we used to call it page 14, but they moved it. It's what, second page from the end? Now,
yes, and it tells you everything.
Yeah,
it gives you the face amount of the policy, what you're going to make, who the person is, what kind of cancer it is, and then it says, okay, if it goes over, this is what it costs you, this is what the premium will be. And this policy we're talking about now has no premium. It has enough cash value to carry the policy. It's a great deal. I mean, so you don't have the risk of it going over. It doesn't matter if it goes over, it hadn't cost you anything. There wasn't any premium to pay. It's a solid, solid deal. You're going to make 37%. If you're going to make that anywhere today, I want to hear about it. I want to hear that you're going to make 37%. I don't think you are.
You're not going to hear from anybody.
Frankly.
No, it's not happening.
I mean, if anybody is going to make 37% safely, I'd love to know about that.
Yeah, really.
Where that their principal's guaranteed. Their interest is guaranteed. You tell me about it. Because most of them, they say, maybe you'll get this.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll make this. And the stock market is certainly a maybe.
Oh, yeah.
You know? We think it's going to go up. We think it's going to do this. We think they'll bring in 5 new wells. But what if they don't?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Or if it's a car dealership, you invest in that thing. And that can certainly go sideways.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In a hurry.
I'm hearing about it. They said there's 5 car companies right now on the verge.
Seriously?
Yeah. I read about it yesterday. I mean, a lot of companies are hurting right now, you know?
Golly. That went under my radar, too. I didn't read about that one.
Yeah, I read that yesterday.
Wow.
And one of the tallest buildings in Brooklyn, New York, is in foreclosure. The tallest building.
Seriously?
In Brooklyn, New York.
Wow.
Yeah. They've defaulted on the mortgage. Well, that goes back to the bank that lent them the money.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so it's a snowball effect. So
wow.
I'm thankful that we're not in the building business. We're not building a skyscraper. We're not building a big condo in Dallas. And the risk associated with that is so great. I mean, unless you're a billionaire, you don't want to be building a skyscraper right now or a big condo anywhere.
Golly.
Because just one little tweak and it can go under.
Yeah. So, yeah, of all the possible opportunities out there, really the only thing that seems like it's holding its own, and not only holding its own, not only not losing money, but people are actually still thriving and making a ton of money, is in life settlements. And if somebody's in a different stage in their career, you know, like you say, is people get, you know, 60-something, they may want to switch over to annuities. Even that, it doesn't matter if somebody's early in their investment career or a little bit later. Between the two, life settlements and annuities, there's something that's conservative for literally everybody.
That's right. And the ones since 19 are paying off a lot quicker. This $3 million that just came in, these were all like a year.
Mm.
And one of them came in less than a year. Another one was a year. These three were all early.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's not like the old policies that a lot of them have gone over. And all these new ones are not going over.
Yeah.
I don't think they realize that. A lot of the new policies are not going over. They're coming in early, not just on time, but early.
Mm-hmm.
So people are getting paid quickly. And now that we have the new company that is working for us, we know when somebody's died in about 2 days.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, 30 or 60 days we were waiting on before to find it. We find it immediately.
Which is...
And that one that died a month ago, we've already paid the people.
Really?
Checks already come in. We've already paid them.
Wow. That's fast.
So that we paid off on three policies this week that went in everybody's accounts. $3
million. Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow. So, yeah,
so
you're...
A lot of people got a lot of money.
Not only are you finding out faster, but the process of getting paid is faster. And so people, it's just like, this is a win for like investors, like from top to bottom, like literally every stage. That's amazing.
I think it's really a big win. A lot of people are making a lot of money. The others could be making a lot of money, but they're sitting on the sidelines because they have some that went over.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't realize that all these others are not going over. They should try it and see. And if it doesn't go over, then they're back in the game.
Yeah. I can understand being a little bit skittish, but things have changed. The game has improved tremendously. And so people that maybe not have not been in policies in a while, maybe they haven't been through the process of, you know, some of the new advancements, and they may not have seen firsthand how much things have actually improved. So it definitely is worth, re-engaging, getting back in the game, as you say. So, you know.
Yeah, I think it's worth it to try it and see if it works. If
yeah.
it doesn't, you can get back out.
Yeah.
But it's working really fine right now.
Yeah. I know you always say that the people that are fully engaged are the ones that are thriving the most, making the most money, doing the best. They have a well-diversified portfolio. They're always in a number of policies. Policies are always coming in. And that's kind of the nature of the game. Some will come in late. Some will come in on time. Some will come in early. But it seems like, from if I understand what you're saying correctly, it seems like the ones that come in on time and come in early are starting to outweigh tremendously the ones that in the old days would have come in late. So it seems like more and more are working in investors' favor in early.
That's right. And the money's coming in pretty quick.
Yeah.
I mean, $3 million that we put in their accounts this week, you know, that's pretty good money.
Yeah. That's nothing to sneeze at for sure.
Golly. Nothing to sneeze at. And they can add a little bit to this other policy if they want to. I think it would be a great idea. Because, as I said, it's paying 37%.
Yeah.
And you tell me what they can do and make 37%. I just don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know of anything right now that's paying that. Maybe there is something that I don't know about.
Maybe. But they don't
have
a note
on a car, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's no maybe about this. This is a definite. This is a definite. You know, it's big profits. It's fairly quick, I'm not even sure that it's even going to go full term. Obviously we can't say that for sure, but it just seems like with all the things that you had listed, if I was a betting man,
coming back.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes back that second time, that's not a good sign. And then when you've got rectal cancer, the heart, you've been in the hospital twice lately for the heart, and then the diabetes problem, and then you've got your weight.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's not anything going in his favor.
Yeah.
And when that returns, it usually means it's serious.
Yeah, it sounds like this is the policy that you've been waiting for quite a while, and it's here. So, yeah, definitely a good one for people to either jump back in if they've been on the sidelines. It's a great opportunity for that. I think they'll see great results. And if anybody's already in and wants to put in more, like you say, this is a great opportunity for that as well. So
I've had several people up theirs a lot.
Yeah, yeah, and I can see why.
That tells you something.
Yeah.
Yeah. People came in and said, can I put another 200 in? Yeah. And we've never allowed that before.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's a great policy. So I can see why they would want
policy.
To.
Well, the profit's there. That's, you know, when you've got a good profit, you might as well go for it.
Yeah. And I know you already said this a couple of times, but say the thing about premiums one more time just to drive it home.
About what?
The premiums. With this, there's like virtually
there is no premium. None. No. You're going into one. And that takes the risk out. There is no premium.
Yeah. So, I mean.
So that's what we're stressing. No premium call.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be mad if it goes over. And if it comes in early, you're going to really be glad.
Yeah.
You're going to say, oh, I'm so glad we're going to get 37% on my 50,000 or on my 100,000.
Yeah.
You know.
I know. For some people, if all the other stuff that you went over kind of went in a year, one out and out the other, the part where you get to no premiums, that should be the one that goes ding, 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 ding.
That's right. Because they all know about premium.
Yeah.
They know that if you have to pay premium, you get upset. So we're just saying there is no premium.
Yeah.
And, you know, that Ritkus policy that came due the other day, you know, it was an old policy, but by golly, it came through,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's getting that into their account.
Yeah. A lot of payouts, it sounds like, right now.
I mean, we had so many payouts. It was over $3 million.
Golly. That's
so,
incredible.
You know, our policies do pay off. People do get paid. They are making money.
Yeah. And that's the key. With so many different things that are going on in the world, this is one thing where people are making money. They're thriving. They're doing very, very well. So life settlement's definitely paying off for a lot of investors. This is
and
your...
you know, there is billions and billions of dollars being invested in life settlement.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
It's a big, big deal.
It is, because, I mean, you got the reserves on hand, so if all the policies came due, all of it at once, you know, they've got the reserves. They don't have it in, you know, some construction loan someplace. They don't have it in somebody's house. They don't have it in, you know, some other building someplace. It's like literally like in a box in a room.
That's right, and remember, you're investing in a life insurance policy. I think we forget to stress that. It's a life insurance policy. It is a life policy, and big companies, and they pay off like a slot machine.
Yeah, yeah. They don't reduce the rate. They don't say, yeah, you know, we just don't feel like paying the whole thing today. We'll give you 80%. That's not how it works. 100% every
no.
time.
And they've got a preserves. They don't make loans. They're not involved like a bank is. They don't have all these customers who've got car loans, house loans, ranch loans, apartment loans. I mean, they don't have that. So they're not pulling their hair out. They're just riding the waves.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other thing is there's so many people that will have a policy of some kind, and then they'll either let it lapse or they'll cancel it or whatever. All that is extra that they have.
That is gravy for them.
Yes.
And they figure every year, their actuaries, how many policies are going to lapse? How many people are just not going to pay the premiums? and that's pure profit.
Yeah.
They may have paid on it for 10 years or 7 years. That's just a profit deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Life settlements definitely make sense on paper, and then in real life, they mirror that exactly. So it's a win, really, for any kind of investor looking for any kind of conservative investment. So definitely a big profit maker for a lot of people. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
We're going to talk about San Jacinto Day.
All right.
You know, every year we should talk about it. Remember, the 21st day of April is when we celebrate the Battle of San Jacinto. And it's a Texas tradition to celebrate it. I don't know if you remember, it was the final battle of the Texas Revolution when Texas won their independence from Mexico. So every year on the 21st, it's a semi-holiday in Texas. It's not a formal one, but everybody does remember it. It's like we always say, remember the Alamo. We want to remember San Jacinto Day. It was the final battle. It changed the world. It's where we finally got Mexico off our back.
Yeah.
Now, during the every year they do a reenactment on it. It's on the site of the battle. And the Sabine volunteers from East Texas participate in the San Jacinto reenactment. And it's named for an actual militia group during the Revolution. And it's appeared on the History Channel.
Really?
It's appeared on the Houston PBS, yes. The documentary details the San Jacinto Day celebration, and it was an 18-minute battle. Do you remember that?
Wow. I guess I forgot all the details. 18 minutes?
Yeah, it was 18 minutes is all that thing was.
Huh.
But it changed the world. A lot of people forget that the people that were in our revolution that were fighting for Texas, you know, they were immigrants from everywhere. I'd forgot about that. But they were from France. They were from Spain, Europe, all over Europe, England. The people who had come to Texas that fought with Sam Houston, with Crockett, with all these people, they were from everywhere. And nobody did not want us to forget that final battle and how important it is. So then they said, we want to build a monument. So they built the San Jacinto Monument, and I've talked about it before, but probably not enough. The thing is 567 feet high. It's
wow.
The tallest in the world.
That's huge.
It is huge. And it's on the top of it, it has a 220-ton star that commemorates the site of the Battle of San Jacinto.
220 tons? Is that
220-ton star.
Wow.
That tells you how everybody feels about the Star of Texas.
Holy moly.
The Lone Star.
Wow.
Now, they decided to construct it between 1936 and 39. It wasn't dedicated until 1939. But it's the world's tallest masonry column.
Wow.
The Washington Monument is only 554 feet.
Really?
The history of this museum goes back, if you think about it, we had the battle of all these others. We had the battle of Alamo, Goliad. We had all these other battles leading up to this. And we were winning these other battles. Not the Alamo, but the others, we started winning them pretty good. And then, as I said, this was the last battle. This was the winning battle. And it caused us to get our freedom from Mexico. And, you know, everybody talked about it. And then, as I said, in 37 and all this, and they were through. Now, then when they got through in 1939, the last surviving son of Sam Houston was there. His name is Andrew Jackson Houston.
Oh, wow.
And he was at the dedication of the Battle of San Jacinto. Can you imagine?
Wow. I didn't know that.
Cool.
Yeah. Andrew Jackson Houston, his last son, the surviving member of Houston's family. And his project took 3 years. It cost $1.5 million. And that didn't seem to me like very much.
No, back then though, I'm sure that was a hefty price tag. But boy, yeah. I was expecting a bigger number than that. But you know, still,
I did too. But it is a beautiful sphere. It's down there in the river. Everybody should go more than once to see it. And the inscription on it tells about our battles, how we won our independence, and it tells how the Mexican authorities did all this. In 1832, of course, they released Travis and the others. As you know, they had them in prison. But we had the Battle of Valesco, the Battle of Nacogdoches, all these others won at Goliad. And then, of course, we started our government, our provisional government, 1835. And it first started at Gonzales in 1835. And we were resisting a demand by the Mexican soldiers. If you remember in Goliad, we had that little cannon and they wanted it. And we told them, if you want it, come and get it.
I dare you.
And after that battle, 5 days of fighting on that, Ben Milam died a hero, and the Mexican army evacuated Texas. And then after all this was over, and after the Battle of San Jacinto, we declared our independence at Washington on the Brazos, March the 2nd. And all these men that were killed, Fannin, all of them, were killed in Goliad in 1836. So all that is on our monument, tells about all of our battles, how we fought to become Texans and to become independent.
Yeah, I wonder why San Jacinto Day, it's not an actual official holiday, right?
No, they say that San Jacinto Day is partial. Everything is not closed, but we do celebrate it on the 21st of every year.
So,
and it should be a Texas full-fledged holiday because it's important to us. If we had not fought the Battle of San Jacinto and won, we'd be part of Mexico today.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot
of
stakes.
So it's a very important battle.
Yeah.
It lasted 18 minutes. And we won. And it changed the world, as everybody says.
Yeah, 18 minutes that changed the world, literally.
That's right. And it took them years, you know, to get the monument started. But the Daughters of the Revolution, the women, is what got it done because they said, we need this done. We need to never forget. We need a memorial about the Battle of San Jacinto. And they got behind it. And all these different people that got behind it said, we need to do this in memory of all the men that were killed at that battle. And all the Texans were killed at all of our battles. And so that's when they got behind it. And the Texas Veterans Association in 1856, they began lobbying for it then.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, in the 1890s, they appropriate enough money to purchase the land. And then they had to do a site deal to make sure they had it right on the location. They said, we want to be sure that we've got this right.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful, beautiful monument.
It's intimidating, too. I mean,
it's very intimidating because it's so big.
Yeah.
And then they put all the inscription on it about all of our men that died, about the battles, about what all we won. And other than the Alamo, we were really winning. And then we won this one in 18 minutes.
You know, you stand in front of this thing, and it's one of those things where it's like you just want to just have a moment of quiet and just reflection. And it's one of those that inspires that kind of emotion. You know, when you
see it. Right. And to think how many men died where we would be Texans.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you look at the star on top, that's just monumental to me.
Yeah. A
220-ton star.
That's huge.
Can you imagine what it took to build it and to get it up there?
I know it. It was like, how in the world? Golly. I don't
remember who built it, but I know who the guys were that designed it. But it's just amazing to me.
It is. It's a sense of reverence, I guess, might be a way to put it. But
and when you go into the bottom and go into the museum, it tells the whole story.
Yeah.
You know, about the Six Flags of Texas that flown over it, tells everything about the battles. And this is something that every child, every grown up, should see. And remember, never forget how we won our independence.
Yeah. I mean, our lives would be very different if things had gone differently, I guess. It's a bad way to say
that.
But it is. And, I mean, there's a lot at stake.
And one of the guys that served during the Revolution, Jesse H. Jones, he provided the idea for the monument.
Really?
To honor all the Texans who served. And then the architect of it was Alfred Finn. And he provided the final design in 1936. And it was part of the Texas Centennial when we broke ground on it, April 21st, 1936.
And it took 3 years.
Took 3 years. That's back before we had unions and things like that. It didn't take long to build it.
Yeah, I was fixing to say that I could nowadays. I don't know about now, but I mean, you would think that it would take a lot longer than just 3 years to create something like, especially back then. So. I don't know. It's impressive. It's impressive.
It's very impressive to think we could have built that to honor all the people who served. And there was hundreds and hundreds of them that served from every country that had come to Texas to live. I mean, and look at all the sacrifices they made. And look at that. A lot of them were in Mexican jails for a long time, like Travis and some of these others. They were finally released. And all of them went back into battle. There wasn't a coward in the bunch.
Yeah, yeah. And the scale of this thing is appropriate, too. I mean, something this monumental should be this big. And so, it's appropriate, especially since everything's bigger in Texas anyway. So.
That's right. And nowhere else would you find something like we have in Texas.
No.
When we do it big and we do it right.
Yeah, we're not going to stick a stick in the ground and say, "Hear ye old," or anything like
that's
that.
That's right.
We're going to do it.
We're proud of our monuments. It's not like the other parts of the country.
Yeah.
Texans are a proud people. They're proud of their battles. They're proud of how we got here. And we don't hide it under a bush. We say, we have San Jacinto Day. We have all the other days. And people still care enough about the way we got here to visit all of our monuments.
Yeah, yeah. And our history, I don't know if there's many other states. I haven't been to all of them, but it seems like there aren't other states that have this kind of pride and honor the history like we do. So it's.
I don't think they do. And that one lone star, has been there ever since we started.
Yeah.
And then to put that star on the top, it really means something.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's a really, really big deal. So, happy a day early. Happy San Jacinto Day. So,
there you go.
It should be a
okay.
Holiday. All right. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
it's hilarious how you're stressing that today.
Well, I am.
It's important. If you go to the wrong
it's
one,
important.
It'll make
you
a difference.
You got to get it right. If you don't get it right, you're not going to get there.
Yeah. Okay, so for life settlements, there are two risks people need to know about. What's the biggest?
The biggest risk is it could go over. You need to know that. You need to figure it. You need to, if you don't know how much it is, ask what the premiums would be if it went over. If there's no premiums, we're going to tell you. We're going to tell you up front about each and everything, any risk involved. The second risk is, remember, you don't get paid till the policy matures. We don't pay interest, you know, during the year. We pay it when the policy matures. You get paid your principal and your interest in a lump sum.
Okay. And we touched on accreditation lightly a little bit earlier, but to recap, one does need to be accredited, and that means?
In order to be accredited, you must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your home. And that goes for everybody that's going into a life settlement. The minimum is $100,000.
Okay. And sometimes when people are, you know, looking at their assets, that includes things like old 401ks that they may have forgotten about. It includes, you know, businesses.
The stock market, their ranch, their cattle.
Yeah.
Most things other than the house.
Yeah. You've had people, I know, from stories that you've told in the past, that people have been interested in life settlements, didn't think they were accredited, and then they went back and actually added things up, and it turns out they were not only just accredited, but they were more than accredited. So
That's exactly right. They had more than what they needed to do the deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
For annuities, not really a whole lot of some.
It's a little different. Mm-hmm. You have to have assets, though. You can't put your last asset in an annuity. But if you've got a 401k, an IRA, you can put it in there. If you have a joint account with your wife, you can put it in there. They're still offering bonuses on one of the products. One of the products doesn't have a bonus, but it's got some really great strategies, and I think it's going to make a lot of money. Annuities have averaged around 10%. Some years they've made a lot more. Some years they've made a lot less. But your money is always safe in annuity. Your principal is right there. And they lock in your profit once a year. It's not like anything else. It's not like the stock market where it's just going to go up and down and not do anything. Whatever your interest is, at the end of the year, they lock it in.
Yeah.
So that's a great thing.
So I would imagine probably on Monday, you're probably going to get either calls from people who want in this this policy, or that maybe are already in and want to put in some more. Either way, people do need to call you.
They can do it.
They can do it. You've got availability.
We've still got a little bit of time.
Yeah. Okay.
We can get it done. And new people, especially coming in, we can get them in it. If they bring a check over, we can get the check sent in to Nevada Trust. That's where they have to open the account. And then we can get them started and get them in the policy if they'd like to. If they're new and like to go in, if you're with us and don't have enough money in your account, you can transfer some over. It'll be fine. Yeah. So that's a lot of choices on that.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely a lot of different ways to get it done, but you can get it done. But people do need to call. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number for people to call you?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.